The order, it's 2:30, and we have with us Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, and myself, Chairman Senator Kukesh. And we, for us today, we'll have Senate Bill 190. And if I could ask the sponsor to come forward, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The intent of Senate Bill 190 is to provide protection for the minor children by keeping their parents or guardians in the loop when it comes to air travel in the state of Alaska. I introduced Senate Bill 190 after a news report revealed that an Alaskan female under the age of 18 was able to obtain a ticket, board an aircraft, and leave the state without the consent or even the knowledge of her parents. In this age of child internet predators and the constant possibility that a young person may be encouraged to travel to meet somebody who intends to inflict harm upon them, the protections in Senate Bill 190 need to be seriously considered. In researching the regulations and policies of various Alaska air carriers, there appears to be no clear and consistent travel ticket travel policy for children between the ages of 13 and 18 years of age. SB 190 seeks to establish such a policy in statute. Also, I'd like to point out that in the original drafting of SB 190, exemptions for minors under the authority of the state agencies was not included. I had not anticipated that, and I encourage the committee to look favorably on amendments that may be proposed by the Department of Health and Social Services with regard to children that are under the state's protective services and foster care who may have to travel in the state. They wouldn't be able to get their parents' approval. There are certainly complications with the federal government being the main setter of policy for operations of airports and airlines that operate in the United States. But I think that most parents that perhaps caught the story about the youngster, again, purchasing a ticket, boarding the airline, leaving the state before her parents even knew what was going on, were appalled by that. And so I thought that at least warranted some discussion here in the state legislature to see if there's a sensible policy call to make to help parents be a little bit more in the loop and perhaps in control of their minor children traveling. I understand that certainly with today's internet systems, you know, for the travel that we have, we go onto the internet, we use our credit card, we purchase a ticket, and then you go to the airport and you check in at the kiosk. You never really have to interact with a real person. But I think there's a few extra hurdles there for certainly a 14 or 15 year old. Number one, do they have a credit card to go onto the internet and purchase a ticket? If not, you know, certainly when they go to the counter, if they're underage, you know, should they have to show some ID or show parental approval before the ticket agent sells them a ticket to get on the airplane? And it just seems to me that they should. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm available for questions and certainly interested in working with the committee on seeing if there's a sensible policy call for the state legislature to make here.
Questions for Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, thank you. Is there I see there's judiciary referral, and I think I can see there's probably a lot of interesting legal issues involved in this. But is there any preemption issues that you're aware of? And I'm just trying to envision the airlines are obviously under federal rule. I'm just wondering how this would actually work, if they would have to change their computer systems and ask a question, are you under 17, if when they come to the gate that board agents have to start identifying people and assessing how old they are. And is there any preemption issues or?
There could be, Senator Wilikowski, in dealing with the federal law. The federal law primarily is directed at whether, in fact, you're asked for ID when you go to board the plane or get into the secured air portion of the airport. You know, what I've tried to do here is really target it that it's at the point where you receive a ticket from the airline employee to board the plane. So it's the receipt of that ticket that I'm trying to put most of the focus on, because I know that the federal government is real touchy and has a lot of preemption specifically on what you have to do to actually board the plane. It seems to me that we can avoid all of that if, in fact, the minor can't get a ticket beforehand. Now, I certainly, you know, understand that you know, if in fact there's an internet romance and somebody wants to purchase a ticket and mail it to the, you know, the underage person, maybe there's no way that we can preempt that. But for the youngster that just wants to go on via the internet or go out to the airport counter and purchase a ticket with cash, it seems that's where the state is most likely to be able to exert some influence on a state policy level.
Senator Cadre, are you online?
Yeah, this is Senator Cadre.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of feedback from your phone. Yeah, we'll tell you if they come back online, but we're hearing people talking in the background. But go ahead, Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm wondering how we define receiving a ticket, because I know when I buy a ticket, I go on the internet, and then I pay by credit card, and then when I get to the airport, I go to the kiosk, and I guess that's the time when I receive my ticket. So would I'm just wondering how the airlines would deal with automated dispensing systems, and you can even print out your tickets now at home. I'm just wondering how we deal with that.
Right, and Senator, through the chair, because of the switch over time here to more of an internet-based system for receiving tickets, the best we may be able to do there is hope that again a 14-year-old doesn't have a credit card, or if they're using a credit card, they you know, it's their parents and they got permission. If the minor goes through that route, purchases via internet, uses a credit card and goes to the kiosk, then there was never an opportunity for the airport or the airline to make that request about showing of parental permission. And so I would expect that they'd be off the hook then.
Senator Olson?
Yeah, Senator Jerry, how did you come up to the age of 17 as being the breakoff point for that?
It's my understanding for the reason the drafter came up with a specific that age group is that for the provision or having to show ID to get into the secured part of the airport, that was the parameters that the federal government uses, that once you are over the age of 17, then you have to show that ID to get onto the plane. So the drafter just thought that that was a sensible place to cut it off.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I could continue. So if you're going to go ahead and if some of these children or some of these 17-year-olds that are going to college, how do you go ahead and provide for that, or what provisions are out there so that they can travel freely and not have to go ahead and get some kind of written permission from a parent? There are college students that are even under 17, right, and that are going out of state.
Right. Well, I would think that if they're going off to college, why would the parent not give that permission if, in fact, they're, you know, child prodigy and maybe traveling out to college at the age of 15? I would think that that's something that they're involved with their parents, and getting the permission would there'd be no problem. But once, you know, most college-age students or college-bound students are generally 17 or 18 years of age, and so they would be past the threshold here and wouldn't need that parental approval.
Mr. Chairman, what about the air taxi operators that are out there running, they're running airlines, but how are they affected, especially out in rural Alaska, where the parents may not even be in any kind of contact with them?
Well, they would be covered under this bill. And we did have a constituent that called that said that their child, I believe, goes to Mount Etcham School, so traveling quite often, you know, or maybe getting a ticket to come home during a Christmas break or something like that. And it seems to me that, again, you've got parental involvement there, and so I would think that getting that approval would not be a problem. But clearly the air taxi operators here in the state of Alaska would have to, under the way the bill is drafted, would have to comply and check to see if there's parental approval. Most of them, well, I know ERA and you know, some of the larger operators do have internet-based systems, But I suspect that a lot of the smaller carriers, you actually have to go to the counter to make the purchase. And so there may be an extra level of protection there because you have that actual face-to-face communication. And the person at the counter would be able to ask, well, where's your parent? Do you have permission before I actually sell you the ticket?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've put plenty of kids on airplanes that just happened to come up there with a cash or whatever, even said that their parents would go ahead and pay for it. Yes, permission. They're not going to say, no, I don't have permission. They're always going to say, yes, they do have permission. So I see this as somewhat cumbersome. I was wondering, has there been any opposition from anybody in the transportation sector that might be opposed to this bill?
At this point, I don't believe that we've had anybody contact the office. They may have been waiting to see if, in fact, there was a desire for the legislature to move the bill before they weigh in, but nobody's contacted our office at this time.
And what are the penalties for the airline or the transportation system if for some reason they don't do this?
At this point, the bill doesn't talk about a penalty. But certainly in the discussion in the legislature, if body wished to put some kind of enforcement into the bill, I'd be open to consideration of what that might be. But there's nothing nothing.
Last question, Mr. Chairman. That has to do with how many other states have adopted this type of legislation?
At this point, I'm not aware that any other state has.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Wilkowski.
What type of photo identification is available? I mean, what are you envisioning here? If you're 13, 14, 15, you probably can't get a driver's license. Is there some sort of...
Well, there are, I would think, the school IDs. A number of high schools certainly issue picture IDs. Both my children, age 12 and 15, have state IDs, which are easily, can easily be gotten at a fairly low cost. So that's what I believe, I had in mind, what the drafter had in mind putting that language in.
And then, Senator Wilkowski, is there an envisionment if an airline does allow a 14-year-old on its plane, do they have any sort of obligation to check the written authorization and from the parent to confirm it? And then, I guess, if they don't do that, is the plane liable in some way if something happens to the child? Is there any sort of liability that would attach?
I wouldn't think that there would be any more liability than there potentially is now. And if my child went out, purchased a ticket, again, flew out of state or even in state, and was somehow injured, whether I would be able to bring a civil suit against the airport, I don't know that would be changed one way or another with this. If this were to pass and the airline did check to see if there was permission, I would think that perhaps they would want to keep a record of that or enter into their system somehow that yes, indeed they did check and it was verified somehow.
And just one more question, Mr. Chair. Thank you. What about emergency situations? Have you given any thought to adding some kind of provision in there that if there's a medical situation or an emergency situation, that this can be waived?
I'm not sure exactly what that emergency situation would be. If you're thinking perhaps the minor is a medical patient that needs to travel?
Minor's out and injured and needs to get on a plane, doesn't have time to consent with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm thinking more likely to happen perhaps in rural areas, maybe they visiting with relatives perhaps, and
mm-hmm.
There's an injury there. And
I would think, Senator, through the chair, that if they're visiting with a relative, hopefully that person is acting as their guardian in that situation, so the relative would be able to do that. If it's a situation where they have to be medevaced out, I'm not sure that the patient purchases the ticket then, or under the provision of medical care it's purchased and they have to reimburse afterwards. But certainly through the debate here in the committee process, if there's the determination that provision needs to be added in, I'm certainly open to that.
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. I've flown plenty of medevacs, and I can guarantee you none of them paid in advance. And so I think, you know, there's, well, first of all, that's more of an answer to Senator Wilikowski's question, but I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just want to let you know that I've never been paid in advance for a medevac.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I guess from the, and I apologize for not having looked at this view, looked at this bill in advance, but I see this as a pretty cumbersome burden on air taxi operators that are out there, whether they're trying to go ahead and provide, and I understand where you're trying to go with this, and I can do remember the news flash that came across and how abhorrent it seemed to be to those of us that are have been raised in more traditional families, but I see this as a major burden to the small air taxi operators throughout rural Alaska, kids going from one place to another, and, or not even kids, people that maybe even living on their own, being 17 years old or so. So, Mr. Chairman, I have serious reservations about without some kind of exemption for rural Alaska, because I see this as a major obstacle to that. I think either the air taxi operators aren't aware of it, but I'd like to have more information from them before I sign on with something like this, either that or amend it so we exempt them.
Any comments, Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. I mean, I remember the news came out, and I think it was a front page story, and everyone was shocked that it could happen. And then I guess it's one of those things that's kind of like trying, when we got involved in some of the ethics legislation, you try to fix the solution, and then you just find it's really hard to do. And I think good intention. I just think it needs some work.
Sure. And Mr. Chairman, I understand that. It is that type of situation where you try to come up with a fix and determine that there are potential unintended consequences. Whether the committee felt that to deal with the rural issue and the issue of people traveling from village to village or to a hub, you know, whether a blanket exemption for that would be the sensible thing. I don't know if there's much of a, you know, luring children you know, to the hub, whether that's a problem versus, you know, trying to lure children out of state. Certainly have not read much about that. Maybe it's not a problem, and that exemption for travel out in amongst the villages would not pose a problem. I guess it still brings up the issue of really in rural Alaska, are there a lot of children that are traveling that don't have their parents' permission or not? I don't know, and certainly maybe the two of you have heard from
Senator Terry, was your intention to target those people, those young men and women who may be trying to leave the state of Alaska?
Well, or, that was the particular case.
Your direction was not so much rural Alaska, and you probably didn't even think about that, but it seems to me if you want to change it to target those young men and women who are trying to leave the state, and you're talking about major airlines rather than the small airlines that Senator Olson is talking about, and maybe that amendment may satisfy the concerns that Senator Olson has, that any individual who's between 13 and 17 who is trying to leave the state of Alaska on one of the major airlines has to present ID and not worry about what happens within the state.
Mr. Chairman, maybe that's the sensible way to you know, separate the baby from the bathwater here. I'm not sure if there are, again, problems with children traveling from rural Alaska into Anchorage, you know, to evade their parents or not. But certainly when they're traveling all the way across the country, you know, it's a magnitude, a problem that's a magnitude bigger. And, well, you know.
And the reason I bring it up is because I was looking at your last statement here, and it says a person traveling on a return portion into the state is exempt. And that was why I got my impression that maybe you were trying to target the young people who are trying to leave the state. And I'm sure that Senator Olson would have brought this. I live in rural Alaska too, and I don't think that there's a problem out there. And I guess that's the message that I'm trying to follow up with Senator Olson. We don't have a problem. And when we do, maybe we'll address that. But right now, the focus should be on those trying to leave the state. It meshes more with your last statement.
Sure.
And that bill.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, if you wanted to work on language, an amendment to that effect, it, yeah, you know, would certainly seem to deal with that concern.
Well, let's go ahead and do that. Let's put this aside until we can get some language that we, and we'll be glad to schedule this again in your future to try to put the, put that. Senator Cowdery, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Has the airlines, any of the airlines been contacted on this bill, or are they there to testify or have any positions?
Actually, Senator Cowdery, the question was asked by Senator Olson, and between now and the next hearing, we'll ask, we'll float this out to the airlines and see if anybody has some comments or if there's anybody in the transportation business that may have some comments on this particular bill.
Will that be including the ferry system and the cruise ship?
Well, those are, I don't think we're talking about them. We're talking about airline tickets specifically. Senator Terry?
Would that be, would we also, like the foreign airlines to come in here and leave?
Senator Terry, comments?
Thank you. Well, it would deal with any foreign airlines that are coming to the state of Alaska and traveling overseas. The issue of the cruise ships and the ferry boats, I did have some discussion with my staff about that. I guess the separation between the modes of transportation for myself is, if my teenager, you know, snuck out of the house at midnight, they could be in Florida by the time I wake up in the morning. If they got on a ferry, they're not going to be too far by the next morning.
So true. Okay, is that okay with you that we put this aside and then try to work on this to try to get to resolve some
yes,
of the
Mr.
questions
Chairman,
that have been brought up?
If your staff is working on a CS, I would ask you just to consider also putting in the issue of those children. Minors who are in state custody. I would think that would be covered under the person's parent or guardian, because in most of those instances, the state's acting as the guardian. But there might be a need to just specify in there. In the HES department has suggested some language to do that. So if you're working on a proposed CS, maybe
well,
that's
actually,
something.
Actually, we'd really appreciate it if your staff would work with my staff and put that together, give us some direction on it.
Thank you.
But for that, we'll just lay that, unless there's an objection, we'll lay that aside for now and go into Senate Bill 189. And we don't have to change the sponsor here. Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 189 was introduced to spur some discussion in the legislature here on capital needs for road infrastructure, bridge infrastructure in particular. And then the second section addresses a concern that I heard from a number of DOT design professionals. We know that from the report of the major bridge collapse in Minnesota last year, that bridge infrastructure all across the nation is in serious need of repair. After that story broke, that tragic incident, there were stories here in the state of Alaska about the number of bridges in the state that could use a little tender loving care, or some of them outright replacement. The way that the infrastructure appropriations or appropriations for infrastructure happen here in this building, generally because it's a capital appropriation, the Finance Committee deals with that. And the Finance Committee will be putting together the capital appropriation bill, and we all submitted, we'll submit at some time our suggested projects for discretionary funding. But it seemed to me that it would be worthwhile if there was some discussion specifically in this committee, Transportation Committee, about the need to look out for that major road infrastructure and the bridges that are part of that infrastructure. So I asked my staff to have the drafter draft up a bill that would be the focal point for that discussion to take place in this committee. I don't presume to think that, you know, this appropriation bill will grow legs and shoot through the system. I think that though we can have some good debate about the need for repair to the bridge infrastructure, and then that debate and input can be passed up to the Finance Committee. So what I have suggested is just a dollar figure of $25 million for bridge infrastructure on the highway network, the state highway network. In addition, as I mentioned, I heard from a number of DOT design professionals about the need or the desire to have consideration to refund a program that has already been on the books, has been on the state books for, geez, I think, more than 20 years, 20 or 30 years, and that is called the Local Service Roads and Trails Program. There is a statutory construct, it's been on the books, that talks about the legislature appropriating general fund dollars. It's then divvied up amongst the DOT regions for the local regions to use 100% state general fund dollars to take care of some smaller basic transportation needs. I remember back when I was an aide working here in the building, we routinely would go to our DOT, the Northern Region, and ask about a little road connector that was maybe in between major road projects that just made sense, or a particular intersection that needed a little work, maybe a passing lane or a turning lane put in, fairly small projects. And we were always amazed that if you went through the federal system, number one, the length of time it took to design the project, and the ultimate expense of building the project when it seemed to be fairly minor. I spoke at a gathering of DOT design professionals up in Fairbanks this fall, and after making some basic comments about the public's view and the legislature's view, that we're quite often left scratching our head about why does it take so long, why does it cost so much. A couple of the design professionals approached me and said they're also frustrated by that. But over time, as we turned more and more to rely on federal money, that 90 cents of every dollar, that meant we had to jump through all the federal hoops with regard to design, with regards to the process, with, you know, and that drove the expense up. So these design professionals indicated to me that, you know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. We've got a program on the books. It just hasn't been funded for the last 10 plus years. And so they saw a real desire to, again, put a little bit of money into this program. Again, it's already on the books. It doles money out through a formula to the regions for them to do these little fixes in a much more timely and less costly manner. And so that's what Section 2 of the bill speaks to. I think you're going to hear some testimony today from personnel from the Mat-Su Borough that indicates that they, as a borough entity, have a number of bridges on their local road network that are in need of some repair, and so they would like some consideration of a possible pot of money being made available for local governments to apply to. And I again am open to that consideration if the committee determined that it would make sense to go in that direction. DOT has provided a list of bridges, and I asked them to bring some pictures of the bridges, and I know that packet is in your bill file. I think as you flip through that, you know, there may be bridges here. I know there's a number of them that I've driven over in the last year. You know, you drive across the surface, maybe the surface is a little bit rough, but you really don't pay attention to, you know, whether the bridge, was it the standard width, or was it particularly narrow? Although I have noticed a few of those on the Richardson Highway. But you look at some of these pictures, and you've got major cracks in the concrete abutments to the bridge, or you've got sheet piling that has a crack all the way across it. Mm-hmm. You know, just a major structural failure of the abutment to the bridge. I think that's, these pictures are fairly sobering. And I think while we've got a couple extra nickels to rub together in our state budget, we should consider doling out some money for DOT to try and catch up on some of this infrastructure. We all like to build the newest, latest, greatest, and it seems like it's a human failing that we ignore keeping up with the maintenance, whether it's you know, sometimes our own personal infrastructure or the state infrastructure. And again, it just strikes me that while we have the ability to maybe take a step in the direction of getting up to speed, catching up on some of this lack of maintenance and replacement in some areas, that we should consider that. Again, I don't expect this bill to grow legs and shoot through the system separately, but I would hope that if this committee determined that this was a sensible thing to recommend to the Finance Committee, and we pass this bill up to the Finance Committee, perhaps it would catch their attention and would shape the way the overall capital budget would come together this year, and some of the appropriations that are suggested here would perhaps be built into a bigger capital effort. So with that, I'm available to answer questions. DOT personnel is here to answer questions about the particular state infrastructure, I believe that Mr. Duffy or other personnel from the Mat-Su Bureau is, are online to talk about the particular local road bridge problem that they have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator, this is Senator Cowdery.
Yeah, go ahead, Senator Cowdery.
I think that we build a lot of modules here that are extremely heavy, and it takes a permit, but they have a route that they go far heavier than anything else that travels the road. And I know when back a few years back, they even, when they would go across some of the bridges, they even had cameras to see where the stress points were. But that doesn't seem to pose a problem, and I think we've probably hauled 100 at least this year up from the North Slope, and that's both from Anchorage and Fairbanks. So I know when you get off from the Suleys, there's bridges that probably need replaced or something, but anyway, I'd just like to say that I think our major roads are probably, you can never have enough money to do everything the way you'd like to do it, but at the same token, I don't know if this is really needed or not.
Senator Terry, any comments?
Thank you. Just with regards to the issue of the modules, certainly I know, or it's my sense that DOT does keep in mind that they've got to have at least one route between South Central or the ports into the state and the North Slope to make sure that these heavy modules can be transported. I think we need to be mindful that if there's ever failure, bridge washout, do we ever shut down that route of transportation to the North Slope? On the Dalton Highway, of course, there's only the one route north of Fairbanks to get up to the oil fields. But below that, we have the Parks Highway, the Richardson Highway, the Glen over to the Richardson. And the last page in the photos here, DOT has supplied a photo of a large module being trucked, I suspect, up to the North Slope. It appears to me that you've got one 18-wheeler in the lead, and you've got multiple trucks in the back pushing it. So that sucker must have weighed a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're going to be prepared to transport the tonnage around the state that we'll need to for a natural gas pipeline, investment in our bridge infrastructure now would be money well spent.
Thank you, Senator. Any other comments or questions from the members of the committee? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we look at this pot of money that you have that's going to be accessible, who's all going to be contributing to that pot? Would that be just the state?
Mr. Chairman, the suggestion here, because it does talk about the state road network, is that this would be all general fund. And again, to relieve the DOT personnel from having to jump through some of the extra hoops on that the federal expenditure of a federal dollar requires, this would allow them to get some of the projects designed and under construction more quickly and at a lower dollar amount. If in fact there's the willingness of the committee to consider adding a separate pot to help municipalities deal with some of their bridge infrastructure that's not part of the state network, if it was the committee's desire to have a requirement of a dollar-for-dollar match or 10% match or 20% match, I'm certainly open to that mm-hmm. consideration of that.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee?
Yes.
Senator Cowdery.
Senator Terry, do you have a list of the roads that are in Anchorage that are state roads and the ones that have our municipality roads in the same way with the Mat-Su area, which roads are state-maintained and which are boroughs?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have that with me. I'm sure that that the Department of Transportation can supply a good list of roads that are on their system, and then the assumption would be that in an organized part of the state, any other road would be the local government's responsibility or in, say, in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the only local outside the city of North Pole, city of Fairbanks, the only road powers that the borough has is through service areas. But again, Mr. Duffy, if he is online to testify about the Mat-Su issue, could probably answer questions about specific roads in Mat-Su.
Well, could you get for the committee so we could all see the list that we just talked about?
Certainly. Senator, were you interested in all the roads or the bill?
Well, that you're expecting the fund.
Well, the bill talks, the $25 million talks about bridges specifically. The second section of the bill is a separate pot of money that would be utilized, could be utilized by the state DOT to fund improvements on the state road network. So, you know, I can work with DOT to get a complete list of that state road network.
I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have anything else you want to present, Senator Trejo?
No, but I do know that DOT personnel is here to answer questions.
Okay. I do have a couple of people out. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify on this particular bill for the record? If not, I will go off line here and go to Avis Thompson from Alaska Trucking Association. Avis?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
My name is Avis Thompson. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our more than 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement represents a large chunk of our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. The simple truth is that if you got it, a truck brought it. In the normal course of our business, highways and bridges are those important links that allow us to move freight. As we identified our legislative priorities for this year in light of the potential for a gas line, we identified that one of our top priorities is to improve our infrastructure to ensure that our highways, and particularly our bridges, are ready to allow the transport of the hundreds, if not thousands, of loads necessary to build a gas pipeline. As we know from experience, one old or substandard bridge can be the weak link in an entire system. Timing is everything, and it's critical that we begin to move forward to develop our system to eliminate any critical choke points. It's clear that federal funding will not meet Alaska's transportation infrastructure needs in either the short or the long term. Given the enormous increase in tax revenue, Alaska needs to invest some of our dollars in our transportation system. Based on our position that we need to invest in our transportation infrastructure, we feel that funding bridge projects is an appropriate use of general fund dollars. Our only criticism in this case is that given the enormous need, the appropriation should be higher. In conclusion, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Alaska Trucking Association supports the appropriation identified in Senate Bill 189. Alaska is making an investment in our future. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony today. Mr. Senator Cowdery, do you have any questions for the presenter?
No, I just I agree that we need to fix some of our, but I think Abe probably is aware of how many tons go over the bridges now in the heavy module. I'm not real familiar with that, but I know they're huge.
Thank you. Mr. Duffy, do you have some testimony you would like to present?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do.
Would you say your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Thank you. For the record, my name is John Duffy, and I'm the borough manager for the Matanuska-Siskiyou Borough. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members, for providing me the opportunity to speak to you today on this very important transportation topic. I know you all have a tight schedule, so I'll be brief, have a few prepared comments, and a short presentation, which I'd like to briefly walk you through. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I first wish to state that we at the Mat-Su Borough are encouraged that the state legislature and the Senate in particular are working to develop a long-term funding solution for the state's transportation system. We hope that as you consider a funding mechanism for maintaining the state bridges, that you will also consider the creation of a local bridge appropriation or program to address non-state bridges that are an important part of the state's overall transportation system. We believe that funding for local bridges makes good sense, and we are willing to provide a local match for such a program. Indeed, the Madison Borough Assembly has already appropriated funds for such improvements. An effective and efficient transportation system is a basic requirement for a growing economy. Without adequate roads and bridges, our transportation system will be hampered by congestion, which results in higher costs of doing business due to long travel time delays. Other problems associated with poor bridges include higher fatality and injury rates that result in higher health costs, higher insurance costs, lower work productivity, which all lead to higher overall business costs. The cost to the citizens and taxpayers of Alaska are more dramatic as families struggle with higher health and insurance costs and long-term injuries. Our aging transportation infrastructure is also increasing the basic cost of living. For example, there are many bridges in the Matsu Borough that have been derated by the state of Alaska due to their structural conditions. As a result, commercial vehicles such as fuel trucks, building delivery trucks, freight delivery vehicles, and even ambulances and fire trucks are not able to use these bridges. We are unable to clear the bridges of snow because of the weight restrictions. Our citizens are now relying upon pickup trucks to plow snow and snow machines and sleds to move people should emergencies occur. Many must now provide their own fire response. Thus, adequate investments in our transportation system at the local level are needed today to address basic quality of life standards and to maintain a strong economy. Today, I wish to focus on the poor condition of local bridges in Matsu. I also note that our situation is shared by other communities throughout Alaska. Local bridges in the Kenai Peninsula Borough, Fairbanks North Star Borough, Anchorage, and the Denali Borough, and many other cities within these boroughs all face similar challenges. If you have the handout, I'd ask you to please refer to page 3. The Matsu Borough presently maintains about 40 bridges. The maintenance and capital replacements are paid for by our local taxpayers through road service fares taxes. As noted on page 4, the existing bridge inspection program is conducted by the state DOT for bridges 25 feet in length or longer, while the borough completes inspections on those bridges less than 25 feet in length at our cost. Bridge inspections are conducted by both parties every 2 years. The Matsu Borough taxpayer, like many others in other boroughs and cities, tax themselves for local bridge and road repair and improvement. Matsu taxpayers pay about $11.2 million for local road bridges. Much of these funds are dedicated to day-to-day maintenance, however, snow removal and limited capital spending. The Assembly recently appropriated $400,000 for bridge repair. Unfortunately, our bridge repair needs are about $3.6 million. For some typical depictions of our damaged bridges, I ask you to refer to pages 14 to 22, and you'll see the various structural problems that we are faced with our bridges. And you'll note on one of the pages, there's a photo that's missing. That's because the bridge is gone. We lost it in the last flood. We respectfully request the state legislature to appropriate funds for local bridge repair and add a provision or requirement for local match funds in the form of cash, materials such as gravel, right-of-way, or in kind such as consulting services that will encourage local governments to match state funds and maximize local resources to help improve bridges in their area. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. We appreciate your efforts to improve the state's transportation system. This ends my comments, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Cowdery, you have any questions for the presenter?
Yeah, does the Matsu on your road projects and bridge projects, do they, since you have most of the gravel for Anchorage, do you charge for the gravel, or is it furnished as part of the contract, or what?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cowdery, on local projects, we use rural gravel is available and it makes economic sense to provide it. We provide it as just a part of the project and at no cost. In fact, we are paving 11 miles of Point McKenzie Road this summer, and all of the gravel used for that project will be donated by the Matsu Borough. On state projects, if there's a rural gravel source available, we will work with state DOT to come to some reasonable agreement. Typically, what that means is that we'll do a construction project in some other part of the borough, and they will do that one, and we basically come out even.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Cowdery. Is there anybody else who would like to testify or make comments today? If not, because of our late start today, and I apologize for that late start, it's my intention on Senate Bill 189 at the next committee to move that out to the Finance Committee. I want to be very supportive of that, and I'll ask the committee to do that. And of course, we'll continue to work on Senate Bill, 190? Yeah, Senate Bill 190, and we'll try to get that in the next committee meeting that we have. But just for the record, appreciate the testimony and appreciate the people who are here to testify today. And with that, we're going to adjourn the meeting of the Transportation Committee for today. Thank you very much.